All right. For you who are on our webpage, who go to our webpage and you listen to our sermons on our webpage, we do want to encourage you that you can either email us at www.fowlpark@yahoo.com. That's our email address, fowlpark@yahoo.com, and you can request a handout for what we're doing. I do encourage you that if you do listen to it, do have a handout to go along with it, because it would make it so beneficial to you. Or you can call us on our church phone, area code 205-780-3919, and you can leave a message and we will get this to you, and all this is absolutely free. Or I'm going to encourage you that husband and wife, I'm glad that you're sitting together. I brought my wife to the front, let the church say amen. Your husband and wives are sitting together, because sometimes you're going to hold hands, amen. And don't nobody leave. that's optional. But that you're sitting with your wife, and that you both have a handout, and that you both have a Bible. And as we go through this here, you're going to take this home with you, and you're going to put it on your nightstand, because when you begin to fuss, or when you begin to do some of the things that we do as married couples, I say we do as married couples, this is going to be your guideline, because you're going to know book, chapter, and verse where to go through to be able to solve the conflict. Because it's nothing but conflict, and you'll see that when we get in the do's and don'ts of marriage, what that word conflict means in relationship. Another thing that I want you to see, I want you to write 2 Corinthians 13:5 times. This is examination time. Just write it down somewhere on your paper. It makes no difference. That's your paper. 2 Corinthians 13:5. We're going to be examining to see. It's examination time. I want you to write James chapter 1 down, verse 2 through 4. We're going to be counting. And I want you to write these three words down and count. Number one, today in dealing with marriage, you're going to be considering, you're going to be thinking, and you're going to be reckoning. Three words that describe what James said. He said, count all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Anytime we have marriage conflict, a marriage problem, it comes about because of the work of the devil. Amen. It's not a work of God, because God, we're going to see, he designed marriage for success. Amen. See, so where we have these problems in life, and I'm going to call them conflicts, where it comes about because it is the work of the devil. So we're going to learn how to count all joy when we fall into divers temptations through examination of 2 Corinthians 13:5, and then we're going to count in those three words. We're going to consider, we're going to think, we're going to reckon. That is that when we have these conflicts or when we have these problems because we violate God's word, amen, this is going to be your blueprint. The third thing I want you to see is that here at Fowl Park, this is just the start. And what I mean by that, I want you to take these home. If you find some more scriptures that may be more applicable that we may need to use, you're going to bring them back to me, okay? And we'll add to our list, amen? Because we all, Acts 2:44, have all things in common, amen? It's not my show, it's not your show, it's God's show, amen? It's not by me. I don't know everything. I'm not authoritative. We're authoritative by the word. Amen. So you take this home with you, and you and your wife, you study. If you come to the scriptures that deal with fussing and fighting and disagreement, out of control, any of those things, you're going to make note, and you're going to come to Brother Lyles, and you're going to say, Brother Lyles, you need to add these. And hopefully in another 2 or 3 weeks, we may give you a new sheet with some updated scriptures. Amen. See, because what we're trying to do, we're trying to build strong marriages. Because guess what? You can't be a good Christian if you fuss on the way to church. Amen. See, you can't be a good Christian. You can't let your light shine. You can't be a solid earth. You can't be a doer unless you are happy. Amen. See, and too many times Christians, you know, we got the word. God had designed it. He designed it before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1, amen. And because of it, amen, all we got to do is just go back to the blueprint. Okay? All we got to do is go back to the blueprint. Too many people get married, and they spend a lot of money on the cake. They get John a lot of money for videography, to do the video. People spend a lot of money in photography. I remember when I used to do a lot of photography. And I used to have a checklist that I used to get the couples. A month or two before the wedding. And they would come back to me and say, Mr. Lyle, well, this picture took, this picture took, this picture took. And I wouldn't leave the reception of the wedding until I made sure each picture was taken. See, they spent a lot of time planning the pictures, the video, the wedding, the reception, but they don't spend a lot of time on God's word. See, because when the reception is over, when the cake ate up and everybody gone home, you still got to live together. Amen? Amen? So I think this is very important as we begin to go into God's word. So let's go ahead on and get started, if we may. And Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and get started, okay, in God's word. Now, I like that. This first slide, I like to say, well, if you can answer yes to any of those, we got problems, amen? For example, you no longer laugh together. Or you surprise each other than Christmas. All right? Or that's not in there. That's not in there, okay? All right. You confide in others. You tell everybody that's your business, but you don't confide in one another. You fantasize about having an affair. I mean, you look more at Beyonce. You look more at, well, I don't know who you're looking at. More than you looking at your husband and wife, you got a problem, amen? Amen? Your mate brings out the worst in you. I remember when I had that business over here, people used to come and especially when they had those checks, you know, and I had to notarize things, and if they were divorced, they had to split, because we live in the state of Alabama, it's a 50%. And what you accumulate during marriage, you got to break it up 50%, in case y'all didn't know that. That's true. And they just bring those checks in, and cold checks, or long checks, whatever they may be, and they be cussing their wives out. They can stand them, can stand their mama, can stand nothing about them. Well, if your mate brings out the worst in you, you got to go to a happy hour to go home, or you got to ride around the block three or four times. Amen. You got a problem. You never reminisce no more. You know. You never talk about the old times. You know. I'm always talking to my wife. Dog, you remember about Lanier Court? You remember that time I was so in love with you, I had a black shoe on and a brown shoe? I mean, we went out the whole night, you know. We went out the whole night, you know, and we were dancing, Paul, and we were having a good time. And when we got through it the whole night, she looked down at your feet. I was just so excited to be with Miss Dodge. I had a black shoe and a brown shoe on the whole night. She said, you remember that time when that Saturday morning I sent you the Big Bear? And you went through the line, and the cashier was laughing at you. And she had painted my fingernails, and I didn't even know it. See, we reminisce. We think about that, and we laugh about those things. Do you ever reminisce, or you just dwell on the negativity of today? You just stop cultivating common interests. See, you just don't have nothing in common no more. You're just not one. We're going to see that. You ain't cleaving. You ain't twaining together. And we're going to see what that word cleave and twain mean. Or you just want to avoid your spouse. You work more hours. You're looking to work overtime because you don't want to go home. Because you just know. You just know. See, if you can answer to yes to any of those questions, I mean, you got a problem. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 9. And let's see what the word of God is saying there in relationship to this. Ecclesiastic, okay, chapter 9 and verse number 9. And when we go to these scriptures, we want you to mark those scriptures, okay? Ecclesiastic chapter 9 and verse number 9. I'm going to slow it down because I want you to get there, okay? Because, see, these are problems, folks, that affect people every single day. Reason why the divorce rate is high as it is. People shacking together, people leaving for any reason, because people just don't know how to get along. So the Ecclesiastic writer says in Ecclesiastic chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, live, everybody there? I want you to get that because I want you to see it. All right? Husband and wife. I want you to see it. Ecclesiastes 9:9. It says, live joyfully. And I want you to underline the word joyfully. Joyfully. Count it all joy. See, if you can't be happy, what purpose is living? See, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised this afternoon. Today is the appointed time. Live joyfully with the wife. And look at the language the Holy Spirit is using here. He said, live joyfully, not with somebody else's wife, not with another wife, but with the wife. The wife is an indefinite article that signifies your wife. We're going to see that when we get to 1 Corinthians 7 and Romans chapter 7. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is the portion of life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. The Holy Spirit used the word vanity because we're in this world, but we're not of this world. See, we in this world, and the thing that the world do is in vain. In vain do they worship me. It's useless. See, if we don't understand what he's saying there. Now, let's go back and look at it one more time. Because these are some key words I want you to see. Number one, you want to be joyful. Live. Who? With the wife. How you going to do it? With love. Amen. And we're going to talk about love. Amen. Not just today, because we're in a seminar, but all the days of your life. Amen. And you're not going to let nothing get in the way. You're not going to let vanity. You're not going to let the world. You're not going to let MSNBC. You're not going to let what you hear on TV. You're not going to let what the Tea Party, Democrat, Republican say. But you're going to live based upon the word of God. Amen. Amen. Let's get, you got a sheet? You have one? Okay, great, great, great. So you need to mark that one. You need just to mark that one. That's a key one. And husband and wife literally need to read it. Every single day. Every single day. Ask the question, am I happy? Am I living joyfully with my wife, with love? Not based on where you live, not based on how big your house is, not based on where you got a car for Christmas. It's not based on nothing, but we're doing it on love. Amen. Amen. Because you're going to see that when we get in the roles of the husband and wife, love is going to be one of the most important ingredients in order to make it right. Amen. I'm talking about true love. See, I'm talking about true love. See, that's the kind of love that we're talking about in relationship to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 9. Do you understand that? Okay, this is something that you should do. This is something that you should do. See, find some quiet time, whether maybe in the morning time, before you go to work, or when you get home, before you go to bed, before you say your prayers individually, but find some time to transform that scripture into your life. Because Romans 12:2 said, be not conformed, but be transformed, right? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. See, we're trying to put some love and some joy back in these relationships. Amen. See, not based on vanity. Because a lot of times people say, well, look what the Lord don't bless me with. Look what the Lord don't bless me with. Look what the Lord don't bless me with. And you don't even know how to get along. You're not even speaking to one another. Hear people say, I ain't spoke to my wife in 2 weeks. See, how can the Lord give you that when it violates Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 9? You understand what I'm saying? That's the reason why it needs to be marked. That's the reason why it needs to be read. It wouldn't hurt just type it up on an 8.5 by 11 sheet, the whole scripture, and put it on the refrigerator. Anytime you go get a bologna sandwich, or anytime you go get a glass of water, whatever you go get, put it up on your mirror somewhere. Live joyfully with the wife. How? In love. Not in vanity, but in love. Because, see, vanity don't buy love. You can't buy love. You didn't know that? See, you give somebody something, it'll last a little while, then it'll go away. But love in good time, bad time, broke money. See, it makes no difference, and we're going to see that in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. All right? Now, let me move on a little bit further with this thing, and let's see what we're talking about here. Okay? All right. Now, Look at what's going on in the world today. Marriage is under attack. Okay? And now you can go back to your handout, okay? If you'd like to. Under attack. Humanism, that's the world, amen. By humanism, right? 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither thing that in the world. The love of the world is not of the Father. Ecclesiastes 9:9, right there were vanity. Because it's not by humanism, not by what you got. See, we came to this world with nothing, we're going to leave with nothing, amen. That's the mindset we got to have. Don't judge your marriage. Don't judge marriage by what you have in humanism. See, worldliness, materialism, entertainment, selfishness. See, those are words that destroy relationships. It will destroy it. Because, see, you're not building it the way God will want you to do it. Because God said, what we're going to do, we're going to build it by being what? What? Joyfully. See, how? With the wife. And let me say that. See, it could be with the husband, too. Because that's generic, okay? See, with love, amen. Don't mean that the husband don't have to love neither. Husband got to love just like the wife, and we're going to see that. Look here, 1974 survey. One out of every three college students considered marriage absolute. Young people are living, are shacking together more than they ever did before. A long time ago, 20, 30 years ago, it was a shame and a pity for you to live together with another man without being married. Nowadays, we don't even question it. It's a thing that people accept. See, but it violates God's word. 1988, over 2.5 million Americans living together outside of marriage. And 2000, it's going to increase to 5.45 million, an 11-fold increase since 1960. You see how much values have gone down? See how we less respect the word of God? You see how much more that this kind of stuff needs to be taught? See, so we can understand that we're going to build a marriage based on God's word. It can't be built based on what the world's saying. Because it's not working with the world in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Look at here. Another thing that I want you to see here in relationship to understanding what marriage is doing. In relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Mr. Slime. All right. I dropped one. I dropped a slide. No, don't worry about it. But anyway, what we got to do is go back to what the Bible say in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. That is the nature of marriage. Now let's go to the word of God if we may, and let's go to Genesis chapter 2, all right, in verse 18 through 25, and then we want to read what is the purpose of marriage in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. If you had Genesis chapter 2, all right, and by verse 18, I just want you to write Matthew chapter 19, 4 through 6, right by there. Genesis chapter 2, and begin reading in verse number 18. And by verse 18, just write Matthew 19, 4 through 6, in relationship to understanding what this is, in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Well, Genesis chapter 2, if you're there, I want to start reading, if you may. Genesis 2, 18, and this is the key point in relationship to how God sanctioned marriage. All right? Genesis 2, 18. Right? It says, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make for him a helpmeet. Now, New King James Translation used the word, I will make him a helper compatible to him. And the reason why that's so good, because you're going to see over in 2 Corinthians 6:14, that brethren, we can't be unequally yoked. Amen. See, we got to be compatible in relationship to make this thing work, amen, in order to keep vainness, worldliness, craftiness out of our life, amen. But that help me, that word help me means someone going to stand by him through thick and thin. That's exactly what it may mean. Someone who going to stick with him by thick and thin. Go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians 6:14, and I want to show you the negative side of that in relationship to what that word means in relationship to a helpmeet. Because a lot of times we get married for the wrong reasons. And over here in 2 Corinthians, if you're there, you might want to write 2 Corinthians 6:14 by that word helpmeet. Because over here in 2 Corinthians 6 and about verse 14, he talks about that concept. This is what violates a helpmeet. See, we marry somebody who's not compatible. Amen. We don't have the same desire. We don't have the same dream. We don't think alike in relationship to what he's saying here. He said, the Lord God said it was good for man. It was good not for man to be alone. I would make for him a helpmeet. I would make for him a helpmeet. That word helpmeet means someone that he can trust. Someone that who is a helper to him. Amen. Because that person, whether it may be husband and wife, going to determine your whole destination in life and making the Ecclesiastes 9:9 work. I mean, how can you have joy when something is contrary to you? Amen. How can you have joy? How can you love something that is contrary to you? That's the reason why when you go to 2 Corinthians 6:14, he says over in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, he said, be ye not unequally yoked. Amen. Together with unbelievers. And what that simply means is simply this here. Ain't nowhere in the world you're gonna sit here and you're gonna believe and you not believe and you be compatible. I mean, how can it be a helpmeet? How can she help you when she don't think like you think? Amen. So you got to think. What do you say, brother? Acts 2:44, we got to have all things in common. 1 Corinthians 1:10, we got to be like-minded. Amen. Speak the same things. Amen. And that's the danger. Now, you may say, well, someone say, well, now he's talking about someone who's a member of the church and someone who's not a member of the church. Well, you can be a member of the church and still not be a believer based on your actions. Amen. If you're not faithful, if you're not looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, if you're not continuing in that word, if you're not steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, brethren, you are an unbeliever. Amen. Because you offend the Lord at one point, you give up the whole law. Am I right? See, so a lot of times people say, well, he's talking about someone who's a Christian and is a non-Christian. Well, number one, Corinthians is not even written to a non-Christian. Amen. It's written to Christians. Amen. Am I right? You remember the 27? You got the 4. You got the 21. Am I right? And you got the 1. See, the 4, 1, 21, and 1. See, the 4 is what we believe in. The 1 is getting in the church. 21 is what we live by. And 1 is going to heaven. Amen. Am I right? So when you talk about that, and by the way, y'all, next Sunday morning at 8:45, we're going to come early. And we're going to work on our books. Someone told me I can go get the slides, the slip-ins. I'm going to buy some of them. And we're going to make books, you know, that we all can have our books just alike. Amen. So when I say turn to dispensations, we all have dispensations. Am I right? So I say turn to the marriage slide. We had a marriage slide in there. Am I right? Because that's the only way we're going to grow together. Amen. We got to be together. Am I right? So you may say, well, I just can't get here at 9:30. Well, if you want to, you can. Amen. Am I right? See, a lot of folks get up early for the wrong reason. But we're going to get up early for the right reason. Amen. So go back to that, but I want to drop that in. Thank you, Tate, what we're saying. So he says here, being unequally together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with righteousness, and what communion have light with darkness. And that's the way we got to see it if we're going to build strong helpmeets. Amen. You got to speak the same thing, be of the same mind. You can't be unequally yoked together. You got to be on the same wavelength. Because when we get in roles in the wife, and when you get in servanthood, and when you get in submissiveness, see, you can't be a servant if you're not a believer. You're not going to submit if you don't believe. Amen. You're not going to do it. You're just not going to do it. When you get to Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3 or Romans 7, when we start talking about marriage, and we start looking at the role of the husband and the wife and being a servant to be submissive, those words you're going to see after a while, okay, you can't do it, brother, if you don't have a good helpmeet or if you don't build it the right way. Righteousness with unrighteousness. I said it wrong. All right, I read it wrong, but let me read it again. I want to say it right. Be ye not unequally yoked. Oh, I love that. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness, okay? In relationship to that helpmeet. So that helpmeet is someone who gonna be a spiritual helper. And I want you to write that word down. A spiritual helper. Not someone that's a physical helper, because you can make all the money in the world, amen. But not be a good helpmeet, amen. See, a spiritual helper, a helpmeet, someone who's compatible to you, it got to be based on righteousness, amen, because we're justified by the word. Understand that, young people, when you're looking for a husband, look for someone who's spiritual in line with you, so that person can be a spiritual helpmeet. We don't want any kind of helpmeet, amen. Don't make no difference how pretty she is. Amen. But we talk about somebody who got good sense. See, marriages are out of control because people are ignorant. Amen. Because they don't know. The ignorant, you don't know, leads to stupidity. Might as well just tell you just the way it is. Am I right? See, in relationship, to understand the will of God. Look what it says here. Verse 24. He said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, underline that word, because a lot of y'all like to go home and get advice. See what mama got to say. See what daddy got to say. Amen. And you let that supersede that unity. You believe in mama more than you believe in your wife. You got to leave your father and your mother. Or you got to leave anything that's going to violate or hurt you from being one in Christ Jesus. You with me? Anything. Now the Bible said, leave father and mother. See? Leave father and mother. See, when you make a decision, see, a lot of times you get mad with your husband. You say, I'm going home. See, I was living better before I married you. Amen. But see, you shouldn't say that. Amen. And we're going to talk about that word conflict, because see, when you learn what conflict is and how to deal with conflict based on the word of God, see, that's not going to help. But you got to do it the way the Bible tells you to do it. Leave father and mother and cleave. That word cleave means like glue. Amen. Like glue. You stick just like glue. See, they can't pull you apart. Amen. Now I'm saying you ain't saying you got to dress alike. I'm not saying you got to look alike, but I'm saying that clean means that you taking the word of God and your mindset. Amen. See, when you get up to come to Sunday school, she get up to come to Sunday school. When you get them to go to worship, she get them to go to worship. Amen. Because see, I'm telling you, brother, if you don't leave it and cleave and be your strong helpmeet, I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to be submissive to one another. You're not going to be able to be a servant. And the role, and we're going to see it in a minute, that the role is being, number one, a servant. See, a servant in order to be submissiveness in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. You understand that? It means that you stick together. See, you won't stick together with nobody who's always fussing with you, do you? It's always contrary to you before you even hit the house. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And we all been that way, huh? See? Come on now, we're going to keep it real. Don't y'all look at me like it don't ever happen. It's amazing y'all looking at me like, why he bring this up? Amen. It's examination time, am I right? See, you got to tell the truth if the scripture's going to work, amen. See, regardless of how bad the scriptures work, you can't correct nothing until number one, you realize there's something wrong, amen. See, that's really why we're going back and see what God's word says. That is to cleave together. That is that. Don't come on my house and say, "When you going home? Let me stay just a little bit longer. Go home. I don't want to go home." See, when you don't want to go home, you got a problem. Amen. Am I right? See, you got a problem. Amen. Because you don't understand what the help me been broke down somewhere in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Now, let's go to Matthew 19 very quickly. I hope you wrote that by Genesis 2:18 for time's sake. Man, I got to hurry up. Look what time it is. Matthew 19. I can't spend too much time. I got to move now, y'all. Okay, y'all ready? All All right, Matthew 19, 4 through 6. All right, Matthew 19, 4 through 6, okay? And I hope you wrote that by Genesis 2:18, amen. And understand where that word help meet me in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. All right, Matthew 19, 4. And by Matthew 19, 4, just write Genesis 2:18 through 25. Genesis 2:18 by 25. Just make note, read in your Bible. Just write that right there, Genesis 2:18 through 25. Because you know Genesis 2:18 through 25 is going to go back to Matthew 19, 4 through 6. Okay, all right, look what it says here. Matthew 19, 4. It says, and he answered and said unto them, Jesus, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, underline that word, beginning. See, this just didn't pop up yesterday. See, this was preordained before the foundation of the world, amen. In order that we may have the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, amen. So we're talking about rules to have a happy marriage. See, I just didn't think of it this week. This something been around from the beginning, right? See, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, watch it now. Come on, homosexuals. Made them what? Male and female. He didn't say male and male, did he? Female and female, right? See, I don't care how many rules states pass that legalize same sex. God's word supersede them because it came from the beginning. Amen. Amen. Don't you let nobody change your mind to say, well, I'm going to accept it. No, I would never accept it because it violates God's word. Amen. When you violate God's word, see, you, a male to male can't be a helpmeet because, number one, because it violates the principles of God. Amen. See, they can't love the way God teaches us to love because it violates God's word. Amen. It got to be a male or female. Because what it says from the beginning, underline that word, male or female. And the reason why I don't want you to underline that word, because see, more and more people, even your president of the United States, he sanctioned same-sex marriages. He said, I agree that two males have the right. Two females have the right. There's a bill right now in front of the U.S. Supreme Court whereby a woman who were married to another woman, that woman died. And with that state taxes, that you who are married, male and female, we have tax laws that gives us the right. The money that we receive is tax deferred. Well, her mate, because she was married to a woman, didn't apply to her. And she had to pay exuberant amount of money in estate taxes. Because she wasn't married to a male, she was married to a woman. So she's fighting it all the way to the Supreme Court. She's saying that's not fair. It is fair. You know why it's fair? Because Jesus said it from the beginning. Amen. Amen. And they ought to make her pay it. Because she ain't no business with her. Amen. And that's on tape. Is that right? Am I right? See, that's the way we call them here. Amen. I don't care if it's not politically correct, not socially correct. I don't care. It says from the Bible, John 19, 4, that from the beginning, God made male and female. See, and the Lord said that it was not good for man to be alone. I would make him a helpmeet. And guess what a helpmeet was going to be? A woman. It was Eve. It wasn't Steve. Amen. And we got to believe that. The reason why we got to believe that, because we've been bombarded. See, with TV shows, TV, government, principalities, powers, Ephesians 6, 10, 11. See, trying to supersede what God will ordain. And they can't do it, amen. Because you do it, it's going to violate the principle of a happy marriage. They can't be happy. You can't be happy when you do it the way the world tells you to do it. Amen. I'm good. I'm glad I got a Christian wife, ain't you? See, look what it says here. Look what it says here. And said, for this cause shall a man, so repeat the same thing, leave his father and mother and shall cleave, stick to it like glue, to his wife. Get ready to marry somebody young folk. If you can't stick to them like glue, leave them alone. And they shall twain, that means they shall come together, not be unequally yoked, They twain shall be one flesh. Underline that word one. See, when you come together based on the beginning, male and female and cleave and twain, guess what? You're not going to be unequally yoked. You're going to be yoked together. Amen. You're going to speak the same thing. Amen. Am I right? See, you're going to love your wife. You're going to be happy about loving your wife. The wife. Amen. See, because you cleave, you twain together, and you one. Amen. Shall the Bible just fit together? See, you're one. Amen. See, and you're going to see that. Then verse 6, it says, wherefore, there are no more twain. There are no more separate. Okay? But one flesh. See? What therefore God has joined together, let not man pull asunder. See, man can't come between you and your marriage if you leave your father and your mother and you twain and you clean together as one flesh based on the beginning and do it the way the Bible tells you to do it. Amen. And once you get that mindset, amen, I don't care what TV say. I don't care what your workers say. I don't care how many homosexuals you work around. See? You're going to hold on to God's word, amen, because you don't conform. You've been transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Amen. See, that's how you build a happy marriage. Well, you may say, well, minds don't meet those qualifications. What can I do? Well, thank God you're still breathing. Amen. Because, see, you can start today. You can start today. Take these scriptures we're giving you today and go home and you can begin to build. Amen. See, you stick with us all day today and you understand what we're saying today and you begin to use these scriptures and apply these scriptures. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. But it took a while to get you a mess. Amen. Amen. But if you take God's word and you're willing to change and you're willing to apply God's word will change you. Amen. Because it's power, amen. But it can't change you if you don't know. It can't change you if you don't do it based on the beginning as God put forth in relationship to understanding what is the word of God. Now that word covenant, oath, is a witness by God. See, people get married and they take those wedding vows. And they promise that I'm going to obey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Some of y'all write your own wedding vows and I'm going to love you till Jesus comes. And y'all say all these things here. Do you realize that when you say those things, you are making an oath to God? It's a covenant. A covenant is an agreement that you make. When the last time you repeated your vows? I'm serious. When the last time you just looked at your wife and looked at your husband? Said, will you marry me? I'm not talking about no elaborate ceremony. I'm not talking about going and just doing it all over again, you putting on a new white dress and all that stuff, because that don't even matter. We're talking about mindset, amen? I mean, it can be done tonight. Will you marry me, Norris? Huh? And she said, yeah. She laughed, but she said, yeah, okay? And you did. And I wonder what these, oh, Jesus. Hopefully before you leave, he'll change his mind, okay? I'm glad you're here. At least you're telling the truth. So you just repeat. You repeat. Read Ecclesiastes 9:9. Amen. Read Genesis 2:18-25. So that's what you need to be reading. Amen. Reading John 9:4-6. Read 1 Corinthians 7. We ain't got that yet. Read Romans chapter 7. Read Matthew 19. Now, you're going to get these scriptures later. Amen. Read them over and over again. Amen. Renew your covenant relationship, your covenant agreement. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2 right quick. And we're not going to have time to go through all of them, but in Proverbs chapter 2. And let's see what the word of God is saying. But by Proverbs 2, what I want you to do, I want you to write down Malachi 2:14 and Ezekiel 16 verse 8 and verse 59, okay? I want you to write that down, okay? But in Proverbs 2, verse 17, I want to go there for one purpose. That is, I want you to write Malachi 2:14, Ezekiel 16, verse 8, and verse 59, down right by Proverbs 2:17, that's going to emphasize that covenant relationship, that agreement that you have, and that you're going to build on that covenant relationship through reinforcement of spiritual scriptures. Amen? Amen? See, I'm giving you instructions, amen. See, not so much do you take or do you take this person to be. Do you take, I'm not saying that, but we're going to go back to the Word of God and reinforce what the Word of God is saying through our mindset, amen. And that's what we want to do. But in Proverbs 2:17, look what the Word of God is saying here. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 17. He said, who forsake the companion of her youth, and look what it says, and forgets the covenants, forgets the covenant of her God. See, we have forgot what love is or what love got to do with it. We have forgot our covenant relationship. We don't remember that oath we took. So what we're doing, we're going to go back and stir it back up. Am I right? We're going to go back and re-stir it up. See, our oath is going to be Ecclesiastic 9:9. Our oath is going to be Genesis 2:18-25. Our oath is going to be John chapter 19:4-6. Malachi, Proverbs 2:17. And you know what? It might not be a bad idea just to type all these scriptures up on a sheet of paper. Get your wife one. You put one. Because these are going to be on the bedstand, right? Then when we start confusion, you're going to pull the sheet out. Now, what did the Bible say about fussing? We're going to talk about that in a minute. Amen. Because, see, we can't have conflict in order to be what? Servanthood and submissiveness. So an oath and a covenant. And then honorable to be honored by God. Go to Hebrews 13:4. And that's another one that's so good that marriage is honorable. People don't respect marriage no more. And that's the reason why we're in the mess that we're in. Amen. People just do not respect marriage. Hebrews 13:4. People do not respect marriage. All right. See, he says in Hebrews 13:4 that marriage is honorable. Marriage is good. Marriage is excited. Amen. I'm glad that Doris my wife. I'm glad she might help me. I'm glad we cleave together. I'm glad we are twain in one flesh. See, that's what marriage do. Amen. See, it's amazing that sometimes I don't be home. And maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock, she'll call my cell phone. Where you at? See, she's looking for her cookie. She should call me cookie. She said I look like a pound cake now. She said, my cookie don't turn into a pound cake. But she used to call me cookie. But she'll call me, where you at? Where you at? What you doing? See, because she be looking for her husband, amen, because she know, and that's the way it should be, amen. See, because marriage is honorable, amen. See, it's good, amen. Because when you do it because it's ordained by God, amen, do it based on the beginning, amen. You do it, amen, based on the Word of God. Man, that's the best thing ever happened, amen. And guess what? It got to be a female because I can't imagine what it would be like with a male. I'm going to leave that alone. Ugh. And then how can anything be honorable when it violates the Word of God? It can't be honorable, amen, when it violates the principles of God, amen. Am I right? See? Marriage is honorable, man. You need to mark that. He said, in all. Makes no difference who you may be. And the bed undefiled. Right? 1 Corinthians 7:1 there. We're going to get that later. But while we're there, go ahead and write it down. See? But, see, when you, here we go, Terry. When you add to God's word, see, when you're double-minded, bring it in James now, right? See, when you're double-minded, see, you bring about debate, confusion. See, no, you ain't got to do it this way. See, then when you violate the Word of God, then you become a whoremonger. Amen? You become adulterous, am I right? Why? Because you don't believe what he's saying here about marriage, your relationship to marriage is honorable in all. Underline word, in all. It may not differ who you may be. And the bed undefiled. We're going to see that in a minute. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. See? And government And it's judged by God. Let's go to Romans 7. It is judged by God. Why is it judged by God? It's judged by God because it's got to be justified by God in order for it to be right. Right? See, it got to be justified by God in order for it to be right. So when you go to Romans chapter 7, in the first three verses, he says here, y'all there? He said, no, you're not, brethren. Underline that word, brethren. Here we go again. Why we use that word, brethren? Just reinforcing, right? 21 books. For I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress though she be married to another man. Now write Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:31. Okay? And we'll talk about that a little later. But the point to be made that it's governed and it's judged by God's law in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. So, let's go back. The nature of marriage. Genesis 2, 18, 19. It's permanent. You leave your father and your mother, marriage for life. Amen. You're going to endure. You're going to be steadfast and you're going to be stable. If you don't endure, if you're not steadfast and you're not stable, well, brethren, you're not in compliance of Matthew 2, 18 through 25. It provides companionship. Amen. Genesis 2, 18 through 20. It's not good for man to be alone, so he made for him a helpmeet. That is, that she's your companion. It's a permanent companion to death do us part. Romans chapter 7. Amen. See, that's what the law says. Matthew 19:9, Matthew 5:31. Am I right? That is, based on Proverbs 2:17, the oath that you took. Because you took an oath, amen. See, you took that covenant oath of the agreement, amen. That's the reason why you do it. Then when you do that way, it prevents immorality. Folks, if people practice this, we wouldn't have venereal diseases. We wouldn't have AIDS. Amen. See, this comes about because of sin. And the innocent have to suffer with the guilty. Am I right? See, if we go back to God's word from the beginning and realize that this marriage, the nature of marriage, that I'm in it for life. Number two, it provides companionship. Amen. See, I ain't got to put a CD on to get it on to get happy. This is my soul, man. They put me in the mood. Doris put me in that mood. When her cookie come home. Ain't that right? Look at your wife and smile. Look at her smile. Come on now. There you go. Because see, the bed is undefiled because marriage is honorable. Amen. See, and it prevents immorality. Genesis 2:25. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And let's go there right quick. See, 1 Corinthians 7. Okay? And let's look at that right quick. And see what the Bible says. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more. Because over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he talks about this. Amen. Amen. And by 1 Corinthians 7, I want you to write Genesis 2:25 and Proverbs 5:15 through 20. Just write it right in your Bible. Genesis 2:25, Proverbs 5:15 through 20. We don't have time to go through it, but I want you to look at it. But it says in 1 Corinthians 7, I'm going to slow it down a little bit so you can see it. All right? It says here, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Look what it says here. Let every man have what? His own what? Not somebody else's wife. See, why? Because it's permanent. She's your companion. And see, When you have your own wife, you can prevent what? Immorality. Amen. Marriage is honorable and the bed is on the fiber. Amen. Because you're not going to be no whoremonger. You're not going to be adulterous. Amen. Because you're in this permanent companionship in a moral way. Amen. It's moral, companionship, and permanent. Amen. Why? Because you're going to have your own wife. Because you, it's not good for man to be alone. I got to make someone compatible to him. It helped me. You're going to leave your father, leave your mother, and you're going to train together. You're going to be what? One flesh. Y'all see what he's saying here? Your own wife. See, underline that word, own wife. See, own wife. Underline it. Own wife. And let every woman have her own husband. You ain't got no business having somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. Amen. That violates the principle. When you do that, you lose everything. But they ain't the world teaching. The world says we got a relationship. We got a marriage of agreement. That do what you want to do, and I do what we want to do, but we'll stay together. I don't question you, and you don't question me. That ain't what the word of God is saying. Look at verse 3. He that let the husband run unto the wife, do benevolence. And like also the wife unto what? The husband. Why? Because your body don't belong to you no more. Your body belong to her. Her body belong to you. Amen. Why? Because you're twain. You cleave. You're one. Amen. You don't belong to yourself no more. We're going to see servanthood and submissiveness. You can't be a servant. You ain't going to be submissive. Amen. See, you can't be divided. It ain't my money. It ain't your money. It ain't my car. It drives me crazy when you say to your wife, can I borrow your car? Is that right? It's your car. I'll put some gas in your car. See, when you use language like that, you're playing in the hands of the devil. Amen? Am I right? Can you loan me $10? I ain't going to loan you that because you don't like to pay for it back. You got my $10? You heard Al say? I don't care what Al say. I want my money back. Y'all with me? We're going to talk about conflict. Amen. That's what I call conflict. Because he said, your own husband, your own wife, you twain together, you cleave together, and you one flesh. Amen. That's that mindset. See, what yours is hers, some folks say, and what yours is hers and what hers, it's vice versa. Amen. Am I right? See, a lot of folks go to the scripture and they talk about an intimate way. It's that too. But more than intimacy. In everything. In everything. You leave your father, you leave your mother. See, if you want your own things, stay at home. You want your own car, own money, don't never marry nobody. Don't take that covenant. But when you do it based on the beginning, you got to leave that alone. Because you don't belong to yourself no more. You belong to your wife. Because you cleave together and you're twain. That's when the Holy Spirit used the word own. Is that right? All right? But see, when you play in the devil's mindset, when you say, loan me $10. The devil will sit back and laugh. I got your mindset. Can I borrow your car? I promise I ain't going to be gone long. Please. And you got to beg? Come on. See, all what I said is in violation because it's vain. It's craftiness. It's worldliness. And the devil know that. Amen. And that's what the devil going to use. I'm going to step on some toes now. Even separate checking accounts. Amen. Our agreement. You pay these bills, and I'll pay these bills. You don't have no agreement like that. We're going to talk about it. Timothy said, if a man don't take care of his own house, he's denied the faith, and he's worse than ever there. We're going to go to Ephesians 5 later on. What about the husband, the head? You want to be the head? Pay the cost to be the boss. Amen. I'm going to make some folks mad this evening. Some of y'all might leave. But I'm going to tell you just the way it is. Because see, whenever you separate, you know what separate means, right? S-E-P-A-R-A-T. It's a rat in there. Just write it down. Look at it. Did y'all see a rat in that word? See, when you separate a rat, get in the middle. I don't like rats, do you? Am I right? See, when you separate and when you violate, y'all getting uncomfortable? Okay, I don't want to now. If you do, I don't want to. The reason why a lot of folks didn't come, shouldn't have told them. But your own wife, and I read it one more time. He said, let the husband run to the wife, do benevolent, likewise also the wife, and then the husband has not power over his own body, but the husband, likewise also the husband, has not power over his own body, but the wife. Then verse 5, underline that word, defraud she not. See, when you start separating, when you start saying mine and me, see, then you are in the defraud state. Amen. Underline that word, defraud state. It's examination time. Now don't start with now. Don't let me cut you off. See, one thing about the scripture all right, as long as it don't affect you. But when we start talking about something that affecting you, then you say, uh-oh. You become a closed mind. We gotta take the whole picture, right? He said, defraud ye not one. Defraud ye not one, the other, except it be with consent for a time. And guess what that word consent for a time means? See, consent got to be in line with the word of God, amen. You can't go outside God's word and consent. You got to consent based with the word, amen. Am I right? See, and we're going to talk about that, okay, in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Y'all with me? All right, and then the last slide, I got this stuff all on the floor. That's all right, I'm having a good time. How about you? I don't know how I'm going to make it to 3, but we're going to do it. It's that marriage, designed for success, Genesis 2, strives on commitment. Not only is it permanent, not only do it provide companionship and makes you more, but it strives on mutual commitment. Amen. We one, we twain, we cleave, one flesh. See, it's ours. It's commitment. Amen. We don't defraud one another. Amen. We're on the up and up. We are honest. We don't lie to one another. We're not conniving. We don't steal. We don't go behind somebody's back. Amen. Amen. One of the worst things that you can do to destroy a relationship when you lie and cheat and steal. Then somebody got to find out later on. I'm not talking about just cheating on your wife. I'm telling you lie about money. You lie about this. You lie about this. You lie about that. You are destroying a relationship. And one thing about once you stain it, it's just like taking shoe polish. Pour it on white carpet. You can get some of it out, but you never get all of it out. Once you stay in that relationship, and once you lose commitment and trust, man, it's hard to get it back. It's hard to get it back. It's mutual commitment. Deuteronomy 10:2 and 20. I want you to mark that. Don't have time right now. They shall become one flesh, Matthew 19:4-6. No longer two, but one flesh. We talked about that with 2 Corinthians 6:14. Now, look what it says. Interdependent. See? No longer independent. See? No longer independent. You dependent through Christ and his church, and what we'll talk about a little bit later. Y'all with me? Don't that make sense? Huh? Ain't that good? All right. Cut off. Take it. We thank you so much. And to come on back, stay around.